Boom. There we go. Okay, we good.
Boom.
What's up? What's up? What's up? Welcome back, goddamn it, to another edition of Tell Me a Joke, the Guideline of Chasing the Dream. I'm your host, Maniacal Minutes, Kyle Smith. Say the whole thing like a pimp named Slickback. And today, I got on side. Look at how fresh and dapper.
That was fast.
You know, I got the trust the shooter himself, Mr. MC Lero.
The magnificent one.
Yes, I'm here. Poet now loading.
Poet now loading.
Yes.
That's right.
Locked in. With the grill and everything. I thought it out of frame like a motherfucker.
Yeah, you was. You was out of frame, but you jumped back in.
There we go.
Real
okay.
Quick.
Okay, good. We got it. Yeah. How you doing, son?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling good. That's why I got these colors on.
I'm vibrant.
I
like it. I like it.
Yeah, it's a vibrant thing. Shout
out to Q-Tip. You look like a good newscaster next on the side of me right now.
And I'm here to bring the news that you can use.
Nigga Sports.
You understand? Yeah. Live from Nigga Sports. We do.
Good.
We look like we about to, you know what I mean?
Broadcast some shit that we about to watch real quick.
You know what I'm saying?
The live color commentating. Yeah. And then, see, we got a good view. This is better because
number 32
there,
is on the run from 12. Right now, he is in the lead.
I like that imagery.
That was good. Yeah, I got it from you. Yeah, it's rubbing off. The comedy is rubbing off.
Yes, sir.
On
me. Hell yeah.
Commentary.
Oh, man. How's your life been, man? How things been going?
You ever seen Talladega Nights?
Yeah, I love it.
I feel like every time I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know where I should hold the mic. I don't know if it's too close.
If you want to see your grill, you can always put it down here. I can always adjust you.
Okay. No, but what was the question?
How's your life going?
Oh, it's going. It's going well. I'm making some additions to my life.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Additions. That's the word.
That's what's up.
Yeah, we got a couple of additions coming on. Some mini me's on the way.
Oh, okay. I just had me a mini me.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen you with one.
Yeah, he's 2 months now.
Oh, man.
It's a lot.
It is?
New daddy.
How about, they're twins.
Whoa. There you go. Double the trouble.
Yeah.
I love it. That's what's
you
up.
You know? But you know, they're fighting to get here. You know how it goes.
They're fighting to get here.
So, you know, we in the fight with them. So,
yeah.
I'm loving the process.
The process is always a fun
thing. Yeah, I'm loving the journey. I'm loving the journey. So, it's just me, God, and my baby.
Yeah.
With my babies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, fighting to get them here. So, you know, shout out to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Blessings.
Yeah. I used to pray over my wife's belly whenever we would be sleeping. I didn't tell her until now.
Oh.
I'm going to start doing that. Yeah. And then... She was like, "Why you was touching me last night?" I was like, "I was praying on your belly."
They do be nosy, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was she saying to my belly?
Don't worry about that.
This baby is here now, and I feel it was my doing.
I'm trying to juju this shit out of her belly.
Put that anointing on her belly button.
Yeah, ancestors, God,
definitely.
The goddesses, Buddha, Jesus, Black Jesus, you know what I mean? Asian Jesus, whatever gods we can use.
Would that be Buddha?
Whatever gods we could use.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what we're trying to do. You know, do what we gotta do. I'm loving it though.
Yeah. Dog. So man, you do so much, especially for this poetry community. Like what got you into actually wanting to do what you do?
For
poets and just for yourself.
Like in the beginning?
I know you're trust the shooter. You're somebody who knows you have an eye for detail when it comes to being behind the camera.
Yeah.
But your poetry prowess is phenomenal. Like when I first saw you, I was just like, "Oh, this is a dope ass poet." Like you made me understand that there was another level to poetry. I was like, "God damn it. Now I have to get back in the lab."
But that's crazy because when I hear your poetry, I'm just like, "Yo, son, I got to write this motherfucker." he is maniacal and diabolical with these words. Like no, you're awesome too. So
thank you, sir.
But it's things like that. Not making yourself in your own mind too high on the totem pole to not learn and be inspired by any and everything. Saul Williams.
Yeah.
The movie Slam. That's what made me want to be the type of poet that I am now.
Now, is this a slam poetry movie?
Yeah, so it's a poetry movie, but it's a movie with poetry in it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I've never seen a movie with poetry.
Yeah. it's a different perspective where it's a movie where everybody ain't a rapper from the streets trying to make it. This is a poet that is a street nigga.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, you know, he's just trying to hustle his way out, but he uses poetry instead of rap or basketball. You know, but he's still in that same neighborhood that you're used to seeing in those films. And but it's just he's a poet.
Oh.
And so he uses that as an outlet, you know what I mean? But he still goes through things, and poetry intervenes and kind of saves, you know, I don't want to tell the whole story, but he stopped a gang war in the jailhouse with a poem.
With poetry?
Yeah.
Come on.
And when I seen that scene, I was just like, son, that's what I want to do for the culture. I want my
power of the pen.
Yeah, I want to write a poem that is possible to do what Malcolm and Martin did with their speeches and what I just seen Saul Williams do with a poem.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I can't write speeches like that yet, but I know I could write some rhymes together and stuff like that. Right. So that related to me more, and I was like, I want to do that.
And so is that like what got you in? Is that what got you into poetry, or you were already into poetry
I started writing my feelings. I started writing my feelings first, and then I just started writing like erotic shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a lustful little kid trying to figure out sex. So, you know, dad, my pops had an extensive Asian porn tape collection that I would climb through the window through the porch.
That was his thing, Asian porn.
I would climb through the window through the porch. Every time they would leave, I just climb through the window through the porch,
to open up
the
joint.
Yeah, and I just watch these clips. I'm like, oh, this is what's going on here. And so, and then you had Cinemax, which was Skinemax.
Oh, Skinemax.
Shout out to Emmanuel.
I miss that.
Do you know about Emmanuel?
I don't know. Wait, is that was the name of the show?
Yeah, it was like this white lady. I don't know, but it was just some
I know,
sensual
well,
shit.
Well, see, when I got a little bit older, I knew about Zane Sex Chronicles, but Emmanuel, I didn't know about Emmanuel.
Yeah, she's the OG to soft porn, Skinemax.
Softcore.
Yeah, so I just started writing what I saw. So, you know, those things give you feeling and thoughts. So I started writing like sexy shit, and I would just read it to my homegirls at night, and they was just like, yo, what the fuck? Yeah, like, you got some more of that shit? I was like, fuck yeah. What do you mean? I do this.
So that's how, because I don't think I've ever heard anything erotic from you before. Like, it's always
I started out with love and erotic stuff. I did,
because like the first time I saw you, it was something deep that took me on a journey. Which was very lyrical, a lyrical journey.
When I got into conspiracies, because as I got older, then I got into more about the culture, and I started discovering more of the history and learning more about Malcolm and Martin, then going into not so much the ones who were promoted, you know, as the cultural leaders, but now going in deep into the culture and seeing the brothers that are still doing it, going to the Hebrew Israelites, going into all the brothers in Harlem, all the gods in Harlem. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Going into all those things. And so now my mind is filled with all this information. Yeah. So I'm just like, and I want to share it. So how do I share it? So poetry showed me how to share 400 years of information in 3 minutes.
So with your poems, do you do research, or is this just knowledge that you already have?
It's knowledge that has been compiled from the days that I walked my different spiritual walks, from the days where I didn't have a religion or a belief system, just observing, and then the days where I got into walking with the Hebrew Israelites for 2 years, and eventually teaching. Teaching that scripture, being a student, and then being able to get myself up to the point to where I was preaching on the street corners.
What?
And that it required so much study.
Yeah.
They were very strict on that. They were very strict on that, and it required so much study, and that's really took me to a whole different level. It made me look at the world just totally different, because the depth in which we studied, it just blew my mind, you know, all the information. And then, you know, when you leaders like well, educators and teachers like Dr. Ben, and Dr. Clark. They talk about if you want to know your history, you have to know your enemy's history.
Yeah.
So when I started doing all those things, now I have all this information just bottled up, and I didn't have an outlet to give it. Once I stopped walking with the Hebrew Israelites, it's like, now how do I don't preach no more. So how do I give this information?
See,
how do I share it with the culture?
This is one of the things I'm glad that I do this, just because I would have never known this. Like, how do you actually get into something like that? Like, where did you have to look this up to find where you can go to actually become this person or get into this organization
the same way that when Martin and Malcolm was running around and the Panthers was running around doing their thing, and how it influenced brothers and sisters to reach out.
Yeah.
That's with Brother Rakar from the Gathering of Christ Church. When I first seen him, my brother Mike Scott, we were just into it, just research. And so once he seen him, he was sharing. He's like, brother, you got to see this, brother, man. This man is sharp. Like, I'm talking about Malcolm X sharp. Like, he is cutting down anybody who asks him questions. Like, you know what I mean? So we started viewing him, and then we would just build on it, on the stuff that we were watching, you know, from time to time, and what we thought about it. And then we finally started reaching out and trying to reach out to him, and then reach out to him. Next thing you know, then we're talking to the man via YouTube or Facebook at the time.
Yeah.
And then now we're studying the teachings. Then I'm, you know, eventually I'm inside the group now. Now I'm part of the group. Now I have a name. Now I, you know, I was called Brother Ahab.
Oh.
Yeah. So I had many names. I had Brother Ahab. Then once I got away from him, because he had some stuff going on. He started taking niggas' wives. He used scripture to take niggas' wives eventually. Like, listen, this man was sharp, though. I'm talking about Malcolm F. Sharp.
Yeah.
No one can confound that man.
I can understand that.
This man on the street corner, I'm talking about, he would pull out atlases, encyclopedias, and he would know those books front to back.
Yeah.
So no matter what religion, what race you were that came up to try to debunk what his doctrine was, he had an answer for you. You know
Come
what I'm saying?
On.
And the Hebrew Israelites' point was the 12 tribes of Israel are the Hispanics, Native Americans, and the Negroes of the diaspora.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that is the doctrine for that. And so that gave me a different perspective of the Bible. That gave me a different perspective of history, and that we need to search more. But I eventually get kicked out of groups because I ask too many questions and I study real well. And then I start finding the loopholes, and they're like, he's trying to overthrow us. Get him out of here. Blasphemy. So they always get kicked out of shit.
But that's awesome, though. Like, just to say that you can actually, you've had that part of your life to where you were actually in some organization to where, you know, it's not the norm in society. It's not something that people normally think about, especially because that's not the first thing, like, I think about when I see somebody. It's like, oh, he's a black Israelite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Israelite,
you know? Niggas. Y'all see him out there. Y'all see Israelite. They be deep.
Deep.
That's like how I was screaming on white folk.
Come on.
You devil. You devil. You a liar. You know what I mean? I'm telling you. Yeah, we used to scream on them boys.
How did that feel to be able to, like knowing that this is what it's about to be? Like, was there any type of angst or anxiety before you would actually go out and actually preach your wisdom?
Yeah, there was always nervousness. But we were so empowered. Because it felt like it felt like I found God now. I found the real understanding of God. I found the answers, you know, where you always hear, you know, even in the music, you know, they lying to us about this and lying about that, but you don't have any proof. Now the Israelites gave you the proof.
Yeah.
They showed you the proof. They at least gave you a blueprint on how to find the proof to what our origins are, you know what I'm saying? To, you know, we can tie it to something. We're not just niggas in America, but we're tied to something. We're not, You know what I mean? So it unwhitewashed all the images that were whitewashed, you know what I'm saying, before I even was born. So it empowered me. So I was nervous but also excited and thrilled to get out there and scream on Whitey. Just what it was, man. You know what I mean?
And this is basically what shaped your poetry to where it is now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what is your process of writing?
God.
Oh.
He gives me a download and I gotta catch it or it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I load up on information. I just load up on information wherever I'm led to. It's emotional. So everything's internal. So, but the words being put together, I think that's a combination of what I indulge in knowledge wise and in life. And then it's almost like a signal of, okay, now it's time to tell them about it. Now it's, yeah. You know, but I'm not putting it together by myself because I can hear it and see it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, okay.
I've always wondered in my head because I'm like, sometimes, like, when I write a line or a line comes to me, I'm like, where did that come from? Like, usually I'll be able to throw out a word that I've never heard, like, I've never spoken of in my life. But it fits. Like, I have to go to the dictionary often because words just pop up in my head. I'm like, what? Yeah. I don't remember hearing this word before, but apparently it fits for this, the criteria that I'm talking about.
Some part of your soul, somewhere on your life timeline of existence, somewhere something is resurging once you start tapping into things. And I think that's what, for me, it's whatever my lifetimes, which one of my lifetimes were, I know the revolutionary lifetime, the whatever that time frame is, it just sticks with me.
Yeah.
You know, that ancestral part of my soul is awakened when I tap into that. And it there's something that is unsettled in my past time, in my past lives. There's something that's unsettled. The version of me is just unsettled and it won't subside. So I think I awakened that when I started walking with the different revolutionary minded pro-black groups. You know what I mean? Yeah. It awakened this warrior that just unfinished business.
Did you see yourself becoming, like, when you was growing older, like when you was a littler? Did you understand that this is where your life would take you?
No, I don't even, I barely plan, which annoys the shit out of people that I'm in relationships with and family. I just go. Nomad.
Yeah. You
know? I'm a nomad.
I mean, but with an artist brain, like, that's mainly how things happen with us. I have this idea. I have to act upon it or I'm going to lose it.
I think planning interrupts God.
Yeah.
I think planning interrupts God a lot because you keep trying to plan for stuff, but you haven't consulted with God. So you're going with what you think. But if that wasn't in the plan, then you have to be ready for it to alter.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, you know, there's not an answer for what you need to do. You're just sitting and waiting and being still. And then the answers come. It's like, oh, okay, this is why I was sitting here for so long. This is why I had the feeling of I'm not in a rush, even though I have some kind of plan. It's just like a plan interrupts God a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, because you're not doing too much listening, so you think you got it all planned out, as they say. You think you got it all planned out.
Yeah.
And then something else happens because you have to trying to hear God is difficult. You know what I mean? When you're moving so fast and you're trying to assume what you should do instead of adhere or wait for your orders.
Mm. Do you believe in reincarnation?
I believe in a lot of things. I believe that we don't know half of anything.
Yeah. You have a vast thought process when it comes to the world.
When you look at people, it's just like, you know, it's like racism is ridiculous, right? Because I'm a colorist, right? Even when I in film, there is no such thing as black or white when you're trying to edit what we call white people or black people, or you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It does not make sense because black doesn't make up the color of our skin on the color wheel. Mm. There's white doesn't make up the skin of Caucasians on the color wheel. It doesn't make sense. So racism is stupid. Yeah. It makes no sense because it's not real. So it's just like, so it, people will show you like we don't know anything. We have to observe more and see what's happening. We like to pretend that we know something, but we're not observing enough and watching and seeing what is happening and then adapting to what is actually happening in real time. Mm. We're too busy trying to be in control.
Yeah.
Instead of being in alignment.
That's deep, my nigga. Do you meditate?
When I smoking was a form of my meditation.
Yeah, was the did you stop?
I recently happened? Stopped because I felt myself getting out of control with just everything, lust. I just felt like I just didn't have control of myself.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And everything, like I wanted to do certain things, but habits and just habits of life just would interrupt that. Like I can't want to be the magnificent MC Lero. You take a shower and you dress to the nines, you put on your cologne, but then you go blow it down in the car for about 30 minutes and now you smell like a fuck. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. And what's the point? You shouldn't just took a shower. You should just came outside just dirty.
Yeah.
Like, cause when I smell other brothers, I'm like, damn, that shit is horrible, fam.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's a time and place for that. And it's just like, you know, and I just started realizing that the things that I'm trying to get to, there are childish habits and a way of dealing with certain things that are getting in the way of my elevation.
Yeah.
I don't have to smoke all the time because you can't say, oh, my mind is powerful, but then you need to be
lifted just for you to be able to write something.
Because your mind should be able to do that. All you're doing is cutting out the middleman, because your mind can literally develop these things that are happening with the drugs that are using, or your stimulants, or your coffee, these stimulants, everything that you're trying to stimulate your mind with, it naturally happens. But because you're too lazy and you don't want to meditate and you don't want to breathe right and you don't know how to breathe and you don't know, you know, when's the last time most people looked up at the sky just to even see the clouds move?
Oh, I do that often.
You know what I mean?
I'm different.
Yeah, you're so, we're not as conscious as we think we are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You think if we get some locks, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Because I remember, you know, when you get locks, everybody thinks that you're, you know.
You're Rasta.
Yeah, you're about to teach them something spiritual. Right. No, you could be a dumbass.
Straight patchouli.
Yeah, you could have some beautiful locks and be a dumbass.
I got locks for the look aspect, not the.
Yeah,
like,
but it's a journey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I definitely, because I've been sober for 6 months now.
Okay.
Not because I wanted to. It was because I'm on papers and I hate it. But the sobriety, it came to a point to where, like, I can't drink. I can't do anything. I can't drink. I can't smoke. It's like I used that as a crutch at a certain point to where it's like, this is what I needed. But when it came to me, like, being out in Texas for as long as I have been now, it's probably like 4 or 5 years now.
Uh-huh.
There was this certain time in my life where I was like, why is everything so hazy? Like, because coming from New Orleans, where I was born and raised, that it is a drinking city. Like, we can drink anywhere. You can take your drink, boom, I'm going to the next bar to go drink some more with the drink that I have in my hand already. And so it clouds your judgment when it comes to actually thinking about what is priority.
Yeah.
In life. And like, once I got to other places to where it's like people didn't drink as much, or they had to drink real fast before the bars closed, and I'm like, this makes no sense. Like, you know, I would go out wrecking cars and shit because like I felt as if I needed to drink, and I'm a small man, I don't need to drink as much. So now that I don't drink at all, like, my mind is, I have clarity. And it's so weird. It took me to fucking get in trouble and to understand that, oh, this wasn't something that I needed.
Yeah.
You know, now, like, when I do get off papers, I'm going back to smoking. Like, fuck the law. But, like, when it comes to drinking, that's not something that I'm going to do as much, because I didn't, like, it was fun during the time, but I didn't like my judgment that it gave me. Mm. And there's certain recordings that I have of myself when I was sloshed and slurred, you know, and I there was things that I would say to where I was like, that's, I don't know who that nigga is. Like, that's, who is this? And, you know, when I look at him, I'm like, oh, that's me? Yeah. I'm saying this shit? And it's like, oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't, so I don't like the person that I do become. I'm not thinking that I'm saying that I'm a bad person. It's just that.
You don't like that version.
Yeah, I don't like that version of myself. And I black out easy.
People will do that to you, too.
Yeah.
People are just as bad as alcohol. If you're around certain people, you're gonna get drunk in with their energy. Mentality.
Yeah,
you're gonna get drunk in their mentality, and you know that shit is real. Birds of a feather flock together, right?
Yeah.
So like, you're gonna get drunk with their mentality. It's gonna infect you, and then because there's no one saying, "Hey, this shit is not cool," they're right. on go with the way they're going. So they don't give a shit about what you dream to be.
Right.
They don't go with what they're doing. They're like,
they sure
listen.
Don't. Everybody has their own little guideline to where they want to get.
They don't give a fuck you got wings. They're like, we're not here to fly, nigga. We are on the ground on this bullshit. You know
I'm trying to get to your platform as well.
So you niggas don't want to fly anywhere? Boom. No, we don't have wings, nigga. Nah. We don't give a damn. Okay? So that's the thing. Like, you got to hang with the right people. Like, you can't be a bird with people that are supposed to be on the ground, because they're never going to help you understand flight.
Yeah.
So you're wasting your time.
Oh, that's nice.
They don't have wings, so they'll never talk to you about flight. You'll never build on what you're actually purposed to do or how you're built. So whatever you're built like, you have to get around things that accommodate how you're built, how you're programmed. Anything outside of that is going to deter, distract, and stagnate you from what you're supposed to be. So like, I have stop talking to people, stop hanging with people, or stop, I don't care, brother, sister, mother, father, I don't know.
I've definitely looked at that as an aspect of like, oh, I gotta cut some people out of my life. Like, I only have so many friends. But now being in this community of poets like this, like, everybody's like-minded, and we understand that we're here to help each other out.
Everybody in the poetry scene is not like-minded. Have you been on the poetry scene?
I'm sorry.
These are crazy.
The people that I run into.
That you are. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah. That's why I talk
to a lot of crazy.
That's why I talk to certain people, because it's not everybody that comes on here that I'm like, oh yeah, we see eye to eye. No, because I wouldn't be able to have a conversation with that person.
Yeah.
But the people that I ingrained my memory to, like, I'm like, okay, I can fuck with this person because we have that similar type of thought process to where it's like, oh, we can navigate this world without, you know, with passing by these demons and all of these crutches that we don't want to deal with.
Right. Because a poem will get you twisted. They'd be like, oh, that poem is beautiful. I want to meet that person. No, you don't. It's a lie. It's a lie. They're up there acting.
It's a facade.
Okay.
It's a facade. They just putting words together.
Just because you'll see a poet and you'll be like, oh man, I just thought you were a different person. You find out that they're a trash bag.
And one of those terrible flimsy ones. It's going to bust. That's why you got to double bag them. I had to watch out for these double bag trash bags out here.
Yeah, for real.
You don't want to deal with these foolish reasons.
I've been so disappointed so many times. Like, I thought you were so different by your poetry.
I see. Okay. Please expound on this, because I haven't ran into. He's like, no, don't. I love it.
Let's go. Let's get it.
I have not ran into anything of that sort, bruh. Because I don't. Because
poets are real people.
Yes.
Like, you forget that on the stage. You watch me and like, oh, that's amazing. So you just think, like, you know, you like, listen. Like, you'll get up there. Like, you'll get up there and see me do, you know, this revolutionary shit, and then you might catch me on some ratchet shit. Like, what are you doing, bro? Fuck everyone. You know, I done got up there, ancestors closer, please. Oh, I love the culture. And I get out and fuck everybody. Get away from me. I don't want to talk to you. You know what I mean? So you have to remember that poets are just real people. They still have their issues. They still have their character flaws. So you can't be dismayed by the stage.
I'm a good... I'm a good character of being able to read energy, just from the comic side of me, to being able to pick up on certain people's energy and everything, and use it with like if I feel that the energy is off, I'm like, oh no, I'm high and by. Like that's why I whenever I do come places, yeah. I like to play the backfield. I like to lurk in the corner, mm-hmm. just because like I'm not easily seen, especially if it's gonna be a dark corner. You're not gonna see me back here, but I also get to watch everything that's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I definitely want to see how I'm gonna maneuver in this room here, because like I only have so much time to deal with so much, and mm-hmm. it is. Bullshit when you have somebody that invades your space and comes with the unnecessary fucking energy that you don't want to portray in the world at all. And it's like I don't like how you're approaching me. I don't like your whole aura. Your aura's fucked up. Yeah. Like I can definitely like see that. And so, but I haven't ran.
Man, I ran into
too many people like that.
I'm telling you, a poet to get on stage and say they want love, and then when you see them in real life, they are a whore bag. You understand what I'm saying? It's just like it doesn't
all
add up.
All types of bags over here.
It's just like, you know, it's like it doesn't add up. It does not add up. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, whatever. Don't be dismayed by poets, man. We're real people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We still got character flaws. Like, do not be dismayed.
How long have you been doing poetry for?
Is it 20 years?
Ooh, okay.
2000. So, no, wait. Because I did start in high school. So, sophomore year in high school, that was about 97. Yeah, 97. Since 97.
The 90s, my nigga.
Since 97.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when I found out I was doing poetry, sophomore year in high school. And ever since then, I've been rocking and rolling, doing it professionally, maybe since 2015.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when I was just, like, I guess a certified. I've been a poet since high school, but a spoken word artist, maybe, like, around. Not until I got to Houston. Until I seen poets in Houston, I said, holy shit. I got
it
right.
Different animal. Yeah.
Yeah, this is crazy. This is the shit I was looking for right here. I feel like hip hop.
I came from LA with this more this higher thought on actual what poetry is to me and what it means to me, because like when I was in New Orleans, just where I'm born and raised, like it was just comedy. It was straight comedy until I wanted to find another way to be seen besides like, oh, everybody's doing the same thing. Like, it's one thing to be a shock value comic, but it's another thing to do something that nobody else is doing.
Right.
So this is why comedy poetry came about, because I'm like, oh, this is where I can kind of be myself and be who I am, but also stand out from the rest.
Yeah.
And so, like, once I went out to L.A. thinking that, oh, this is the Mecca. This is where I need to be to become a fucking famous comedian. Mm. It is not. It is a cesspool of succubi out there. And I was like, fuck this place. You know, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. But
Cali is beautiful.
The people are fucking hateful. And it's like, I don't, this is not. Like,
how y'all
sound
hateful
when
you're by the beach? This is ridiculous.
How?
You know,
it
that,
really
we never understood that.
Out here.
It's crazy. It's like, you guys are by the beach. You should not be gangbanging.
But see, that's the thing.
It's so beautiful out here. It's too beautiful out here to be gangbanging and doing all this stuff.
I went to the hood area. Well, what they say is the hood area. I'm like, nigga, y'all got palm trees. Like, what the fuck is hood about?
That's what happened when I came to Houston. I was just like, what, Mo City? I was like, there's brick houses out here. How is this?
This is what y'all call hood?
This is where Zero's from. It looks wonderful out here. Why is Zero so angry?
Where the trash at? Like, Zero, I'm looking.
Shout out to Zero, though. No. The whole city dog.
Shout out. I'm trying to find the griminess of y'all hood.
Yeah, man. Fifth Ward.
Well, okay. No.
Third Ward.
Depending
on the bottom.
Okay.
Yeah, you go to those
places.
Then you start to see the diversity. Like, the city is beautiful and it can be ugly too.
Yeah.
So, but, and then, you know, the ugly can come out of the beauty. The beauty can come out of the ugly. That's
my
the beautiful thing.
My GPS told me to turn around. I was like, nigga, you don't want to be here. I was like, oh, I didn't know.
Third Ward.
I had
Yeah,
no
you
idea.
Go to Third Ward. You know what I mean? You see a little bit, but you get a lot of culture.
Yeah.
When you pass up the fourth and into the fifth, you are in a dangerous zone.
In a very dangerous area.
They were shooting last night. I live in Fifth Ward. They were shooting last night for no reason.
For what? It's not.
I was washing dishes.
It's not the 4th of July.
Shots were going off for no reason. I was washing dishes. I was like, this is ridiculous.
They shooting over dishes. No, that's, yeah. And that's when the streets get bad and the potholes, yeah. They don't decide to fix them because it's like, yeah. If more potholes, you can't run that fast.
Yeah, so if you run into a poet from Fifth Ward, don't, listen.
Be careful.
Be careful.
Is that what it is?
I don't care how pro-black they sound on the mic, they will kill you. No, I'm playing. They got a pistol in their purse.
This is the thing I need to know. I need to know these things. Not being yeah. from here, there's certain things. It's like, yes. Yeah,
where are you
fuck
from?
Around with the fuck around. I'm from the-
Wait, where are you from? What side of town are you from? No. No, what side of town are you from? Tell me what side of town are you from? All sides. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. Safe nowhere.
Shout out to Drinker for being from all sides of town.
Yeah, first of all, I knew Drinker was dangerous when I seen her go too. I was like, she like a janky promoter when she smiled. I was like, she is gonna hustle me out of my drawers. And now,
boom.
That's it. She got me.
Hustling
I'm long
salt
gone.
To a snail. Yes.
Fucking water to
this
a whale.
Is, this is a hustle city, though.
Yeah.
Like, this is the city, you know, where I've seen your chameleonaires and your fucking, Slim Thugs, Mike Jones.
But it makes the greatest
the
hustlers,
that gave
though.
His
it makes
number
the greatest hustlers
out to the world.
It makes the greatest hustlers and entrepreneurs. That's
yes, it does.
That's the amazing thing about Houston. They have the. What I loved about Houston, it showed you how to get it on your own. Like, there's no excuses. People from Houston, they don't have no excuses. Like, bro, we got to get it on our own. The culture didn't want to mess with us. The industry didn't want to come fuck with us. So we created their own culture. They created their own culture. They created their own industry.
Yep.
And then, you know, now everybody jocking their style. You know, I'm from the
crazy.
East. So I watched it.
So you born and raised in Houston?
No, I'm from Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
I'm from Bridgeport, Connecticut.
East.
Yeah, I'm from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Like, I'm up north. I'm in, New York, tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. I'm from that side. So, like, when I got out here in 2003, I was able to see the culture. Then I started to understand the culture and started to love the culture. And I was just like, damn, like, for real, you really got to respect, you know, Texas, because they got it out there. They're getting it on their own.
Out the mud. Definitely out the mud.
Getting out their own.
Yeah.
So it really gave me a lot. It gave me a lot more character, a lot more principle with doing my thing in this game. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Texas,
This city definitely does build character. And that's one thing, because just being down here, actually seeing what people are doing and the maneuvers that people do take to get, like, everybody has something. Everybody is trying to do something. Yeah. You're getting somewhere. Like, somebody has a certain talent. And there's so many places, there's so many venues and so many outlets that you can go to. Not saying that all of them are good.
Texas shows you how to be gangster. Texas has gangsters with manners. Not real shit. G's with fucking manners. Like, they are big on manners.
Hood niggas with ascots.
Respecting moms, you know, respecting tea lady. You know what I'm saying? Don't step on the lawn. You know what I mean? Like, Texas is, Houston in general too, is just big on respect, but some gangster shit could go down in a respectful way. You know what I'm saying?
Respectful way.
It could go down in a respectful way, like, be a gentleman.
It's like a plus.
But
minus.
It could go left. And you know what I'm saying? So that's what I learned from that. It was like, yo, show respect. Be a gentleman.
Is it not like this in Connecticut?
And it's faster up north. They don't give a fuck about nothing.
What do you mean by faster?
It's faster. It's more agitated. Texas is more like, yo, relax, slow down.
Yeah.
Up north is like DMX. Yo, It's like, okay. Bruh.
Because it's so cold. I got to hurry up and get
I'm
inside.
I'm telling you, the moment you land, I'm telling you, there's somebody just so, it's just fast. It's just like, bruh, relax, what's going on? Yeah. Like, everything is just, it's just more accelerated. You know what I'm saying? We're not talking about mentality. We're saying that the character is like, down here is just like, yo, take your time, B. You know what I mean? You ain't got to move so fast, talk so fast. You ain't got to do all that. You ain't got to talk too much. And in Texas, it's like, don't talk too much. It ain't about all that talking, because we finna walk this yard. Up north, you can talk. It's a little more talking. It's a little more showmanship in situations like that. It's like, you know what I mean? You could talk a lot more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just more aggressive in that fashion. You know what I mean? So it's just different. You know, it's just a different way they go about things. Even just the stimulants are different. You know, there's more uppers. There's more downers down here.
Yeah.
So everything is like more of a slow,
slow thing.
Even
down.
Yeah, even just the pace in which they do things. Like you can, like you go up north. If you are at a, like in New York, the moment the light turns green, I swear to God, for a tenth of a second, if you do not push that gas,
oh, you're gonna get honked.
Eight cars behind you are on your top, fam. But down here, you can sit at the light for 30 minutes in Texas and swing all four blocks. You can do whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? It's just different. You can't, in New York, they will shoot you, fam, for a light. Like, you know, it's just different.
See, the thing is, I wasn't fond on L.A. And I was like, fuck New York. I don't want to go to New York. Until I visited New York. And I was like, why does this feel like home? Why does this feel like the place that I need to be? I should have came here first instead of going to L.A. I don't give a fuck for the cold. Like, fuck. Me and cold do not mix.
No, it's interesting, that is
one thing.
Though.
I put all my clothes on.
Yeah,
I had them all on. And it did not
cold
do
weather
justice.
Is fresh air. You need that. You know what I'm saying? That's what keep the sickness away. You know what I mean?
What?
Actually, you know,
I thought
cold
it
weather.
Gets you sick.
Nah, that cold weather keep everything fresh. You know what I'm saying? That's where, you know, you put your meat in the freezer. You know what I'm saying? Put your meat in the freezer.
That's why niggas are still fucking
during COVID. Up north. Up north niggas put the dick in the freezer. Niggas is getting sick down south. Put your dick in the freezer. Put that pussy in the freezer. It's too hot down here. Too much bacteria. It's too hot. The sun never goes out.
That's a good way
Jesus
to look
Christ.
At it. That's a good way to look at it.
The sun is encroaching on our shade right
it
now.
Is,
this
it
was
is.
A full shade
it
a
was.
Moment ago.
Like I had to take my hand off the table because I was like, oh, my ring's
we're literally
getting
warm. Under a pavilion and the sun is still encroaching.
We going to get you, nigga.
Yeah, we got to scoot back every two
I'm glad
two
they
seconds.
Had a breeze that came through.
I'm telling you.
Man, the...
Put your dick in the freezer.
Put your I guess I need to be out there longer just to see it. But I did love it. I loved being out in New York. I was like, oh, I like the griminess of this.
Yeah.
It was fast paced. You know, motherfuckers is like, hey, nigga, what's happening? And then, not what's happening, but like, what's up? What you doing? Like, people are in your face. What you need? You need something?
Yeah.
Okay, then,
and
man,
you
get
gotta
the
watch
fuck.
That.
It's like, oh.
You got to watch that.
Oh,
there's
okay.
There's a lot of fast shit going on. Just say no, keep moving. Like, nah, I'm good, son. Just that's all you got to, I'm good. Learn that, so I'm good, son.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's a girl or a boy.
Aggressive. Girl, they're aggressive.
Shorties be like, yo, what's up, son? What's good? What's good with you? Let me get that.
I got checked immediately.
Yeah, they'll get your number out there.
I had the wrong Tims on.
What's good?
I didn't know I could have the wrong Tims on. They were
which
Tims.
Which ones did you have?
They weren't the wheat kind.
What did you have?
I had some great Tims on with the fold up. They fold and you can fold them
you're
down.
You're fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they was probably on your top. Yeah.
Oh, they yeah. I felt bad.
Like,
I wanted to take my shoes off, but it was cold.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't know I couldn't wear it. I thought Tims would be Tims anywhere you go. But it's not the proper
Tims. They're in New York.
Yeah.
Those are the OGs up there. That's the OG Tim wearers. It's like, you can't buy like them in New Jersey. Yeah. Yeah, they wear them bitches today. They wear the regular ones to them just fall to the side. You understand me? You ever seen Biggie clips of Biggie and Tim's?
Yeah.
Right, they fall to the side.
I had lean on them. I didn't know. I wish somebody would have told me, because that's the only pair of shoes I had. I had these shoes and some Tim's.
Yeah,
just because I was like,
bougie.
It's gonna be cold and I need
bougie.
To be able to put the triple layer of socks on so I can at least be outside without my I don't like my toes.
They was like,
cold.
Oh, he trying to get fancy. He think we ain't spotting him, son. What'd it always be?
Yeah, that was too much.
What you doing, B?
Yeah. Immediately they got on my ass. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
What are you
know.
Doing, B? What are those? What are we doing out here, son? Really?
Man.
That's what you doing? That's crazy.
This is good. See, I could have used this knowledge when I went up there the first time.
Yeah, just be like, yo, chill, son, I'm good. Yeah, you know what I mean? You'll learn that one phrase when you go up, you'll be safe.
Yo, chill, son, I'm good. Okay.
Like, don't say it slow like that, though. See,
that was
difference?
Too much.
Yeah,
that
see
was,
that?
That was
see,
too slow.
That's the self in you.
Like, oh.
Yo, chill, son, I'm good.
Yo, shit.
You
still
see
coming out slow.
Yo, chill, son, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? That'll keep you out of a lot of trouble.
Learn.
The moment you be like,
yo,
what's going on? They're like, yeah, come here. We got them. No, don't do that. Don't say it. No. Just be like, yo, chill, son, I'm good.
Yo, chill, son, I'm good.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's it.
Fast enough?
Yeah, you just cut it off
okay.
a little bit. Yo, chill, son, I'm good.
Okay. Okay.
Try it again.
Yo, chill, son, I'm good.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Sometimes I accent my words and I say them out too much.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You cut that word in half. Yeah. Like, oh.
Don't walk around and be looking up at the buildings. Bro.
I went to a bodega.
Stop acting like you ain't been there before.
I got some cigars sold to me by an 11-year-old. I was like, yeah. I don't even think you're supposed to be selling
There's
this.
There's niggas on the corner everywhere selling everything, and they got slogans for anything they selling.
Yeah. I was very surprised because he kicked this old lady out and he was like, next, what you need? I'm like, where's your daddy? Like, why are you behind? He was taking the money and everything.
When I went back up top for the Dipset and the Lox battle, the son was outside selling. I'm telling you, listen, you can't stop New York niggas from selling anything. They don't care nothing about bootlegging laws or nothing, son.
At all.
They not even part of the official event. They already got your face on a t-shirt. They outside. They were like, yo, 2 for $41 for you and your shorty.
Yo.
Let's go. Like, they outside in your event. I'm telling you, if New York niggas come down here, I'm telling you, if we had a poet downloading event, niggas that be outside have me and Drika on the short. Listen, we got Just Drika and Magnificent MC Little T's. 2 for $41 for you and your shorty. Let's go. Like, yo, you know them niggas? Niggas is coming in with t-shirts. Like, you know them niggas outside?
How they got your logo? Nigga, I don't know.
Bruh, listen, New York niggas are resourceful, fam.
Yeah, that's see when I was like that Diddy runs the city shit, when Diddy had that whole little hustle fucking program, that the show that he had with motherfuckers out there outside selling umbrellas and shit.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I couldn't, nigga, I ain't like selling candy for the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what the fuck are we like, you want me to sell an umbrella on a sunny day?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How? A nigga went
find
by,
a way.
He went and bought a pack of socks and flipped them bitches.
Yeah.
I'm like, how are you selling socks, sir?
Yo, it's supply
like,
and demand.
What the fuck?
Supply and demand.
You a know whole what I'm saying? Pack of socks. How
yo,
you
what
flip
I need
that?
To do with socks? Yo, I don't know. You guys got to figure it out. It's just like the Wolf on Wall Street. Dude said, he said, sell this pen. Remember, he said, sell this pen.
Yeah.
He's like, and everybody was saying something stupid. And he's like, yo, write your name down. He said, I don't have a pen. Exactly.
Bang.
Supply and demand.
Got you.
You know what I mean? That's New York. And
I got him.
But Houston will teach you that too, because
it's a different way though.
They out the trunk with it.
Yeah.
Out the trunk with anything. You know, when I first got down here, it was out the trunk. That was it. Out the trunk with anything.
And we got, they're the same thing in New Orleans. But it's more of on a sneak tip. Like,
yeah, New Orleans, y'all niggas is dangerous.
We'll put that bitch in the store real quick and be like, but we got a whole new mixtape. You heard
new
that new
Orleans
Wayne?
Scares
like,
me.
How did you get this new Wayne?
New
like, don't
Orleans
worry about that.
Scares me and intrigues me at the same time.
Yeah, man.
It is.
Everybody packed
the first
something.
First time I went down there, I think it's for the. This is when I was part of Swamp Life Gators, man. We went down there to promote. This is during the Bayou Classic.
Whew. Be careful during Bayou Classic.
My man Swamp told me, he said, son, when you see people running, get against the wall. I said, what kind of fucking advice is that to give to somebody coming to a city? What do you
That's pretty good advice.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, what, like.
Oh, that's the first advice he gave.
Yeah,
me.
So like, is there any food spots? Any safety?
He didn't tell you nothing.
You're telling
else
we're going straight into danger war zone. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Like, to promote music? Why?
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
they not love music, son? If
no,
you see people running,
it.
Get against the wall. I'm
you
telling
just
you,
don't know who beefing.
We down there. First of all, saw a lady in the street get ass naked to fight. Then heard a shot go off, and it was Pop. A black hole came out of Bourbon Street. And started running, and I was just like, I've never seen a stampede of this many Negroes in my life.
Yeah.
I was stuck. He grabbed me by my backpack. He said, nigga, I told you, get against the wall.
Yeah, because you'll lose your entire party if you just randomly run like that. Like, you'll normally be able to see
Fam,
who's running where when it comes to...
Yeah. Yeah, y'all crazy out there. It's crazy. But it's beautiful out there, though. It's beautiful.
It
you
is.
Know, everywhere we,
it is. I got
everywhere
caught
we're
up
at.
For a second. Cotton candy. Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah.
I love the people watching.
A lot of yams walking around here.
Lots of it.
That's what. Yeah. That's because it's Houston. That's
yeah.
the thing everybody loves about Houston.
Yeah,
it makes the girls
it's a melting pot
it makes
of
the girls
everything out here.
Show the skin.
Yeah.
You understand?
You only got served with so many things in New Orleans. Like, I ain't come to a place and see a mixed person until I left New Orleans. I was like, oh, what is this nationality?
Yeah,
I like this.
Yeah,
this
Houston's
comes with everything that you like. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You can get a Negro Asian akin. Negro Asian akin. You know what I mean? You could get anything out here. Any kind of mixture you want.
I had no clue. I had no. I was like, this is Okay.
Yeah,
because
the sun,
it's so big.
The sun
is
a man's friend in Houston because the women have no choice but to show the skin.
No
man.
Choice.
The
yams no choice.
I don't care if it's the middle of December.
We got off on a tangent.
Booty shorts
now.
Is out. That's, it's Houston.
I like that. Yeah. I like. See, sometimes you never know where this is going to go. And yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure that little boy was pee popping behind me. He was pecker popping for a second. I didn't catch him until late, but I saw him in the, and I was like,
he
this
was?
Nigga.
There was somebody pecker popping behind
man,
us?
Man, the little boy. You didn't see the little boy with
no,
the fucking.
I did. I got the shades
like,
on.
Yeah,
I can't.
The pong thing going on. Yeah, he was directly behind us doing some shit.
That is diabolical.
I never catch it until late.
That's diabolical.
I never catch it until late. I'm like, God
some
damn.
Some nasty work. This nigga pecker probably, pop with
yeah,
two guys on the camera. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Nasty
and
work.
He probably got it in. I'm going to have to check it later.
Yeah.
He got us. He got us. But
that's a clip for Instagram, though. Viral, going viral.
And it's I mean, but
Peter Piper picked a peck apart for Popper. Straight up.
It's so funny because, like, New Orleans, you got. You,
yeah, it, that's how I got Drinka.
It's a
pecker popper.
Did you pecker?
Son made her take. Son made her put a dress on. And I pick
a
pop.
There was a certain point in time to where it was nothing but just dances in the city.
Yeah.
They had this group called the Power Rangers. So you know, like how you got your Big Freedia.
New Orleans?
Yes.
Okay.
How Big Freedia got her dances and everything.
Okay.
Now there's just a group of people. I don't know if they have them like this anymore, but back then in the days, that's what they did. And if you wasn't ready, they'd steal your whole entire crowd of women. Yeah, because they'll come out and just the moves that they have with their hips, and they still got a few niggas that do dance, they still do the shuffle and shit, and they be grabbing.
So I love like the second line when y'all be doing the
second lines of fun.
Can you do the little
the little
footwork?
Two step? Yeah.
What? I'm not from there. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. Like,
so what's with the
umbrellas and the string
when they're doing when the band is playing and then they got the dancers, but then it's the string that keeps them. So what is that?
Oh,
where does that
usually,
come from?
Okay. So the string is so nobody cut cross your line. Like you don't want people to come across your second line. Like,
oh, okay. That's what it's called. Okay. So the people dancing is the second line.
Yeah.
First line is where the band is.
Right. Yeah, you have your band that leads the second line, and then you have the people that come in to the second line, and then they march down the street wherever they go. But if especially
got
like
it.
During parades and stuff.
Now I understand it.
Like if you in a parade and you the band, if the band is coming down, do not cross that band. Motherfucker will hit you with the trombone, the trumpet, anything.
Okay.
Motherfucker will purposely bow. Nigga, don't cross my line.
Oh.
Yeah, definitely. That is a no-no.
That goes back to y'all being
so that,
dangerous.
That is one of
the band
that's why they
dangerous.
Do have they have their security. Somebody that be like, back up, please. Like if St. Aug come down, if Southern come down, like motherfucker, the street will widen just because you know you need people to back up because these niggas coming with the tom tom doom 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 doom, and they'll come down the street and they are trying to hit you. They're like, if you are in their way, they will feel glad to be able to pop you in the face. Because
some of them
shits.
Are probably, some of them probably haven't caught a body yet on the.
Oh,
on,
we,
yeah, so they were like,
we
I've been
pride.
Waiting to hit a nigga
we,
with this
we
trombone.
We definitely take yeah, pride when it comes to our music and in the culture of the city. Oh yeah,
like look at this stupid ass nigga.
You know,
I'm finna,
you know the sway about to come.
I'm finna rock him right in the forehead with this thing.
Yeah. He don't know. Lots of white people get knocked out.
The dumbass.
You see it. They get trampled.
No, I love
often.
It. I love that. I love that vibe out there. And plus, also, it has a lot of ancestry out there too.
It's yes.
A lot of our history is out there. So you know what I'm saying. That's where we get a lot of that hoodoo, the voodoo. You know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
The voodoo, the ifa. You know what I'm saying. Our ancestral roots, man. You could go down. You know, you get that vibe out there. So, you know, that's another walk I went into ifa. You know what I'm saying? You know, I got the name Oya Bowale. You know what I'm saying? From Ifa, which is West African, from the West African belief system.
Yeah.
Where they get all the gods of Greece from, Greco-Roman, you know, where they get all their gods from, you know, they get it from us. So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
what?
So that's another thing.
How did
thing.
You come about that? Like, how did that,
well,
this
you
is
know,
just another thing that you delved into?
Yeah, I mean, well, the others didn't have all of this development in their culture.
Yeah.
They learned how to conquer and copy. They conquer and copy. So, you know, Thor is, you know, Storm is a depiction of Oya. Thor and Zeus is also a carbon copy of Shango. You know what I mean? So we have roots to all of these things. You know what I'm saying? We just have roots to all of these things. Once you start doing research, you'd be like, damn, that sounds a little bit like Thor. That sounds a little bit like the X-Men. When you start reading in the black culture, like, damn, that's what Storm was doing in Marvel Comics.
Yeah, I just took this from us. Yo, like,
that's a little similar to what. Oh, okay. So you start understanding. Okay, this is the where they went to get all the stuff that they put in our face to create their culture,
right?
Which we're part of this culture now, and it becomes this American culture, but they got it from somewhere because they didn't have these kind of concepts. They didn't think like that. They didn't see beyond the stars. They couldn't see beyond a certain way. And the more you research your culture, and the more you research the conquerors, you see how they conquered and what they came in with. They didn't come in with much.
Yeah.
But when they conquered, now all of a sudden, after they conquering things, now all of a sudden they're so illustrious, and now all of a sudden they know about medicine. Now all of a sudden they know about stones. Now all of a sudden they know about, you know what I'm saying, all these magical things. And when, you know, they didn't start with that. So they had to get it from somewhere, and so they got it from the people they conquered.
I've always wondered, I'm like, how did you come up with this? Who thought of this first? It's always the trickle-down from the trickle-down. It's like, for you to be able to go ahead and give me that knowledge, like, that is something that I'm going to go ahead and look up into now.
Yeah, when you're watching the X-Men, when they're telling you about any Greco-Roman, Caesar, you know, any... and when you're watching their culture, when you're watching these things, you are literally watching yourself just washed into another culture, washed into another version. You're literally, their gods, their script, everything. It's just washed into another version of what you are. You know, it's the same thing like how they're mad about Beyonce doing a country album.
Yeah.
We started country.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started rock and roll.
I'm a little bit of country and I'm a little bit of rock and roll.
So we have the origins of all these things. Like we have these things. Like all instruments, every instrument has its root in Africa. Every single instrument in existence has its root in Africa. Period. That's fact.
The banjo. That's
fact.
I love it. God damn. The lessons that you learn when you talk to a nigga that's been part of the Black Israelites. I don't even know if that's why that comes about. But that is interesting to me that you was in there for so long until niggas started taking niggas' wives and shit. And it's like, hold on.
Yeah, no.
Man, calm down.
You gotta relax.
Like, I'm out of here.
I'm telling you, the scriptures get powerful. The motherfucker take your bitch real quick. Under God. Nigga, take your bitch under God. Indivisible. For liberty and justice for themselves. Ho ass niggas, man. Niggas will rob you too. Nigga, a priest, man, that priest in New York, that Moray, he still owe me $1,000. I made them goddamn garments and he didn't say, we paid him $1,000 for them garments and he never sent them. Yeah, Moray. Moray Kuna. I remember his name. Moray Kuna. Yeah, that nigga.
Glad this is towards the end. Oh my goodness. Bitch, give me my money. Okay, I'm gonna have tears in my eye. Oh shit. All right, to break up the monotony of everything, I like to play a game of choices with everybody.
Okay.
This is good. Okay. All right, what you got is you got four choices and you got four options. All right,
okay,
yeah, all right.
This is dangerous. Go ahead.
Yeah. You got to be.
And see, I don't even smoke and drink anymore.
I know.
This is me sober. This,
yeah, exactly. This is the soberness of the soberness. And yeah,
both of us.
It ain't gonna be like this for long for me. But yeah, I feel you. Yeah. It's been eye awakening, and I'm like, oh, I can see it. Things are brighter now. All right, you got four choices and four options. Your four choices.
I feel like sake is Asian pussy juice. Do you think that? I feel like we're being tricked this whole time. I don't know why that came to my head, but anyway, let's move forward. sake. It's aged pussy juice. I tell you, because I'm telling you, they didn't. No, I'm not. Let's go. Let's move forward. Okay.
All right, my cheeks hurt. Okay.
Okay.
All right. You got you got to be one. You got to raise one. You got to sell one. You got to have relations with the other.
Be one, raise one, sell one.
Relations.
Yeah. Relations. Be one, sell, raise, relations.
Right. And your choices are, your options are, a mermaid, a maguire, a Mexican, and a manatee.
I don't know what a maguire is.
I got you. A maguire is Gizmo. You remember Gizmo from Gremlins?
Okay, that's why I was thinking where it was coming from, the Gremlins, right?
Right.
A manatee is what?
Is Florida sea cows, the ones that were endangered for a minute. They were getting ran over by boats and shit. They stay in the mangroves, but I think they're okay now.
To get ran over by a boat, that was crazy. So either to be a little fucking gremlin.
You don't have to
ran over by a boat.
Yeah,
life of eventually getting ran over by a boat. What was the other choice?
Mexican and a mermaid.
A Mexican. That's almost like the getting ran about by the boat thing. What was it? The manatee?
Yeah.
So it's the same. Fuck, man.
You thought so deep into this just now.
And what was the last thing?
Mexican. You got
I think the mermaid's
one,
the only fucking choice.
One. And then relations with the other one. Be one, raise one, sell one, fuck one. And mermaid, maguire, Mexican, manatee.
Okay, listen, this is the thing. When it growing up, they said, you know, Mexican pussy is it's a oven of wonderfulness. You understand? So we're definitely sleeping with the Mexican.
I love that it went this way.
We're definitely sleeping with the Mexican women because it was known when we was, it was known that, hey, and as you can see, they will bring you family. They will bring you family. So you will live forever. Okay, let's start there.
Okay.
So immortality will come from the Mexican vagina. So I'm starting with, okay, and then what else? I got to be one?
Yeah, you got to be one of them, raise one of them, and then sell one of them.
I'm definitely going to sell the manatee because if it went extinct, it probably worth some money like a Mexican.
That's good knowledge to know.
Okay. I got a B in relation.
You fucking a Mexican. So yeah. That's what you're, so you got to.
And I'm selling the manatee.
You got to raise one and you got to be one. And you're selling the manatee. Yeah.
So I would probably want to raise a mermaid because if I can make a deal with a white man and I definitely can get that motherfucker and make some money off it. You know what I'm saying? So wait, what was the
other? So you're going to be a maguire.
Yes, because I think, wasn't he magical?
Yes, he was.
Well, there I go.
There you
go. That's black. magical and not and you know what, and he, I think he was discriminated against as well.
See, this is the second time somebody has brought this up, like I was
so
talking,
that's like being black anyway.
Like, isn't maguire racist or something like that? I was,
that's like being black.
I've never
anyway
heard of that.
It doesn't, but yeah, so yeah, it's like being black anyway, so fuck it. That's it. That's my choices.
That felt so good. Okay. I like how I tell everybody, man. Everybody got their own fingerprint when it comes to this whole little game of choices, and I love
it. Nobody's gonna ever book me after this.
Don't worry. Most people don't get to the end of things, so you good. Like you were saying earlier, remember 30 seconds.
Wait, what group is he a part of? Poet Now Loaded. Poet Now Loaded, motherfucker.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, let everybody know where they can follow you at, what's your handles, what you got going on. All that.
The Magnificent MC Lero, Dame Films, Trust the Shooter Like You Trust God, and Poet Now Loading. That's it. That's the main thing, man. Follow my team, Poet Now Loading. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
And you can probably put this clip out on Instagram. Everybody get ready. Poet Now Loading versus Everybody is on the way.
Ooh.
Okay? Yeah, we coming for you, Mo.
Ooh, that's like Detroit versus Everybody.
Yeah, get your pens up.
Yeah, that's what's up.
We outside with it.
Hell yeah. Well, this has been Tell Me a Joke, the Guideline and Chasing the Dream. I've been your host of Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. Say the whole thing like a pimp lane slick back. Hey, remember, man, you can follow me at The Maniacal Menace on Instagram and The Maniacal Menace Comedy. Also, if you need to go ahead and email me anything at tellmeajokeyo@gmail.com. And until next time, keep dreaming, jokers. Woo!